The views expressed on the Big Shiny Podcast are explicitly the views of everyone on BigShinyRobot.com, regardless of what anyone may tell you.
And the Big Shiny Podcast contains coarse language such as shit, damn, and hell. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey guys, this is the noob from Battlefield Friends, and you're listening to the Big Shiny Podcast!
Welcome to this week's edition of the Big Shiny Podcast. We are going to be talking video games. Sitting to my right, as he has been for the last 3 weeks.
Not moving.
Jimmy, also known as Mexica's Prime.
Yep.
Also known as Michael Douglas.
We call him the Border Collie Moses.
Thomas.
Sitting next to him is the guy that spent most of these podcasts watching Street Fighter tournaments.
Hey,
Tom,
hey, hey.
Also known as Zombietron.
I participated a bit.
Also,
that's going to be in Tom's headstone.
I participated a bit. and his headstone's only for like a year or two. Like, it doesn't even show his birth date. It's just like in a couple months.
2015.
It just says like from June to August.
Sitting across from Tom is Lucas, also known as Kiltacularitron.
Hello.
And I am Tyson, also known as R-Spot. So jumping right into it. The big game for this year seems to be, like, I don't want to say the most anticipated, but it's the game I hear the most about, so it may not be inaccurate to say that.
Anticipated next-gen game.
Yeah, I think,
in my opinion,
I think this is going to be the first game we really see sell consoles.
So, we're talking about Titanfall.
Man.
Can I talk about it?
Those guys fucking firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, dude. Did you see the unboxing of the Collector's Edition?
But I know it.
I'm really disappointed I didn't buy that shit.
I'm not. That was expensive.
Yeah, but it was fucking cool.
You get a Titan, Tyson, that's like 20 plus inches.
Yeah, it was big.
It's a statue.
And it has a battery pack that comes with it. No. So, because in the game, and I don't know, did you play the beta at all or see any of it?
Tom.
Did you watch any of the streams?
Did you watch any of the streams? No. Did you? Okay, so.
I don't do that shit.
Yeah, I know. So, when there's an enemy Titan, it's red. When it's an allied Titan, you see it as blue. And on the statue, you can actually toggle between the two.
Why do my fingers smell like rubber? Like,
it has two little grunts that go down on the ground and bite it. It was fucking awesome.
So, I'm going to talk about the beta.
Okay.
How it went, and then I'm going to talk about the gameplay.
Okay.
Does that work?
Sure.
That works for me.
I'm in.
So, they open up the beta. You'd go to a website to register to hopefully get a key.
Right.
And so, day one... it was a Thursday. It was before Valentine's Day. The day before Valentine's Day, they gave it out to press and then a couple other people. And then on Valentine's Day, they opened it a little bit more to some others, but not quite as many, right? And by Saturday, so Friday they were having issues with the servers, which was actually on Microsoft's end. It wasn't on, the publisher? It wasn't on the game.
Oh,
it was on Xbox servers. So they're like, all right, dude.
Respawn.
You need to fix your shit. Fix it. So they fixed it, and they said, well, based on this, we're going to have the server be a little bit longer, but here's another handful of people that can play. And then I think it was partway through Saturday, they're like, all right, we've tested the server enough. Anybody that has an Xbox One that wants to play,
right. You
can play now.
Yep.
Holy shit.
And they opened it for almost the entire – it was that next week, wasn't
it?
It was until Thursday.
It was supposed to be Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Mountain Time – or Pacific Time it was supposed to end.
And they did
a little bit. Yeah, we were recording Entertainment is Dead that night, and 11 o'clock at night it was still going. So I think they let it run to like 12 or 1 a.m. before shutting it down.
Nice. They said they were going to do a couple tests, balance loader tests, and if it went well – they would keep it up that night.
Yeah.
And then if it didn't, then they'd just
and
be
it,
done.
And it kept running. It was good. It ran great. I mean, the whole time Lance was on it. And I don't know. Did they ever make the PC beta global? Or was it just invite only for PC?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, I got a PC beta code at like 3 o'clock in the morning Saaturday. But
to be honest, I don't know.
I don't know if they made that open. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
So some of the criticisms I have are on Xbox's side. The partying up is kind of difficult and didn't always work right. And talking to each other didn't always work right, which, even if you partied up. Which is on Xbox's side.
Right, but with the new Xbox Dash,
yeah,
that is getting
be better.
Fixed, yeah.
So a lot of the things you're seeing in the update rolling out in the next couple weeks are things that they pushed on Xbox to fix before Titanfall.
Good.
So I think they recognize how big of a deal Titanfall is going to be. So Titanfall multiplayer is fucking amazing. That's
great.
All I have to say. We can move on. Like, that's it.
It was.
Well, that's all it is multiplayer, right?
No, so it's just the beta was only multiplayer, but there's a single player experience that looks fucking crazy.
Well, but it's still multiplayer. There's a campaign mode, but it's only multiplayer.
Right.
You have to, the whole game, I believe, is online only.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. But the campaign they released in the artwork book is will have monsters in it.
Yeah.
Which is fucking amazing. I was just kidding. So I'm going to talk a lot about the multiplayer. It's 6v6
right.
in every match. And the three different game modes they had in the beta were your standard just like kill slayer
flag.
Where you got to
yeah.
kill each other. And then there they had a conquest, which was similar where you had to hold down 3 points
on
the map.
Oh, hard point?
Yeah, hard point. And it operated similar. If you had all the hard points, the tickets, it's just like Battlefield. Now, the unique one was Last Titan Standing.
Which I didn't like.
I liked it fine, but the... You had each team of six had Titans, right? And then whichever team had a Titan left, not a pilot, like if you ejected, that was fine. But if you had the last Titan, your team won. And it wasn't just one round. It was like race to best of three.
Best of seven. No,
yeah.
best of four.
I think it's also important to mention that there's going to be different Titans.
Yeah, so those are the different game modes you had. Now, within that, you have your pilots that you can customize. With close-range weapons, the sniper is fucking amazing. They're doing away with no scopes, so the sniper is useless if you shoot with outside of the scope. But in the game, you can't really camp because you can get around so easily that you have to constantly be moving.
Mm-hmm.
So it adds a new dynamic to sniping. So as far as ground-based, I'll talk about that first. So you were able to unlock that and some different perks. Now, the guys that made the game, some of the designers were obsessed with Magic the Gathering. So while you're playing
cards.
The game, you get burn cards. And the burn cards represent, like, your Titan drops sooner. You have, you know, you can swap out your secondary weapon for a primary weapon. So you have two primary weapons.
Enhanced run speed.
Yeah, different stuff like that to where when you die, you can pick one of three burn cards you set up before the round and use that on your next turn to kind of spice it up a little bit. And then there's the parkour. You've seen it in the trailers to where you can run on the walls and you can kind of double jump and different things. But there's so many ways to get around that they don't talk about. It's really looking at your environment in a different way and being able to wall jump like Mario. Or if you pull the left trigger while you're running, you'll stick your knife in the wall and stop and then hang there for a while. And you can shoot from on the side of a building. The pilot stuff's
Holy
amazing.
Shit. Yeah, Chris was actually talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
He's pretty decent at that.
And the thing about the pilots that blew my mind is, and hopefully I don't derail this too much, but
I thought
the follow mode and the defend mode with the Titan. So with that Titan, you get two choices. You can be in the Titan, just run around blowing shit up, or like
right.
and a buddy of mine uses for hardpoint, you jump out of the Titan, you put it in defend mode.
And nukes.
And now, no, it,
well, defend mode
it'll,
means
it'll
it just stands
an
there and defends where it's at.
Oh, yeah, the follow.
So you
yeah,
can
puppy
follow,
dog one.
Follow
the puppy dog one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, for instance, in Last Titan Standing, what I like to do is I would take my Titan to a corner where it could still see stuff, but it wasn't in the middle of everything.
Right.
Stick him there and put him in guard mode, and then as a pilot, your left D-pad is an anti-Titan artillery.
Yep.
You can choose it to be like this massive
rocket launcher,
any kind of thing. And then you have grenades that are like plasma grenades, but they're an EMP. And if you're in the Titan, it fucks up everything. You can't see anything for a good 20 seconds. So I would take off as the pilot, hang my Titan back, and blow shit up. And then if it started to be where all the other Titans on my team were dying, I could tell them to follow, come to me, and then jump in.
Holy shit.
And
Tyson.
You can jump in from any angle,
and the
animation's different.
It'll grab you. Oh, man.
Tyson.
And
the other thing was rodeoing a Titan. I thought was fucking sick.
So let me go on to the Titans
and
a couple other little things, then we'll get into it.
Okay.
So there are three kinds of Titans. There's...
You've got...
There's the Igor...
Tank. You've got the tank. One was
called
basically,
you have a heavy, you have a medium, and a small. I don't remember all the names.
There was like assault,
the heavy,
tank, and the other one.
You only have medium and beta, correct?
Only medium, and then some people would get a burn card to try out another one, but it was pretty random.
Yeah.
Really? The PC beta had all three.
Yeah, the Xbox only had the one.
Who gives
a
shit about PC, Tom?
The guy that played all three fucking Titans does.
No.
That,
Rich isn't here. We don't even talk about PC.
He played Xbox. Rich bought an Xbox.
We're not even going to get into that. Fucking
race traders.
We're not even going to get into that. So continue.
Heavy, lots of armor.
Yep.
Heavy firepower, can't move real quick.
Yep.
The light is the exact opposite. Medium's in the middle. I mean, yep. It's not too complicated. But you get different perks with your Titans, just like with your person, the pilot. So the default perk with your left trigger is if someone's shooting bullets or missiles, you hold up your hand, and you've seen in the trailer, you catch all the bullets, and you can shoot them back.
Right.
Now, the perk that I chose that I unlocked is a nuke. So when I'm in the Titan...
This is what Chris does.
Is the Titan's about to explode, you shoot out, and then your Titan itself explodes. It's a nuke. It goes off, and if there's any Titans within range of you, it kills them. It's just an auto kill. Now, you can also fire the nuke without being to the last bar of your damage. So to the other team, you could look completely normal. You run up on the guy, punch him, eject, and nuke, and take out his guys. And Chris and I did that plenty of times where we would get a guy in a corner and Chris would be like, all right, I'm going to nuke. You keep punching him, and then you can dash out. So that's one of the things the Titans have to keep them kind of mobile is you can dash back, left, right, forward.
But you only get two dashes, at a time. Yeah.
It's two bursts, recharges, two bursts. I'm amazed that they could have these monster Titans and these really nimble parkour pilots in the same realm and not feel like one... Like, when I was out of the Titan, yeah. I didn't necessarily feel like I was at a disadvantage.
No, because you can maneuver in and out with your big weapon.
I will say this, though. If you're close to one, you want to get the fuck away, because if they walk on you,
it's instant kill. Oh, my God, that pissed me off.
And the people just explode. Like, as soon as
you... Yeah, I saw, Chris, like, the punching of them.
Yeah, right. Dude. And
so here's some other interesting dynamics they've introduced. Each team has computer AI on your team. And they're grunts, and then they're robots.
Those trash mobs are amazing, yeah.
And it's fucking genius. But each team has those, and then they get reinforcements, and you can shoot and kill them, and you get some points. You don't get as many, but those guys are fucking annoying. They're not good enough to necessarily kill you, but if you're not paying attention and two or three of them get near you as a Titan, they can take you out. They can take out you as a pilot if you're not paying attention when you're sniping. And the reason that they're in the game, one of the reasons, is for players that are new to the game. You know, how frustrating is it to jump into a multiplayer first-person shooter game you've never played before, you don't normally play these games, and you just get fucking rocked. You know, everybody is better than you, and it's a constant uphill battle. Whereas now, you can hop in, run around with the parkour, pick out a weapon, and then pick off these different computer players and still help your team and still get better. It's kind of like a beginner level within the game.
Nice.
And it's nice for even someone like me. I'm not as good of a sniper in most games, but with this, I've got the sniper. I hop up on the rooftop. I just pick off the computer and get really good with the headshots and getting my range in, and then I started getting better at killing actual pilots. It's great. I think 6v6, there's a lot of people bitching about it. I think it's perfect. Any bigger would be too much. Any smaller would probably be too boring.
Well, and realistically, 6v6 is really 12v12, because when you bring that Titan dynamic in, you're dividing pilots and Titans out. The maps are a perfect fit. They're so good.
And then that's something worth mentioning. So everybody gets a Titan at the same time. It's not a perk. It's not a kill streak thing.
Tell them about them dropping, too.
Oh, so the Titan, as you kill people or do different things, you can get your Titan a little earlier. It ticks off the time faster. But you can call your Titan in, and it's what the game's called, Titanfall. And you can, if you aim it, because you pick and push down, if you aim it correctly and it hits another Titan, instant kill. Just fucking, they're done. And so there's different times where you rodeo as a pilot, you hop on another Titan, you're shooting it, you're blowing it up or trying to kill it. They know you're on it, so they'll stop moving when their pilot gets out to shoot you. When that happens, if you have your Titan, drop your Titan on that, hop out, and your guy will eject backwards, and then your Titan will take out their Titan and probably their guy at the same time.
Nice.
Was one thing that we were doing. And then there's a perk that you can do that's instead of a Titan fall, it's a Titan warp. And it uses some warp technology, and then your Titan's there immediately. It's a little bit faster. I don't see the need for it personally. This brings into more of the computer AI. It feels like you're a part of a bigger system. When we play multiplayer games, we kind of call it out to each other, but the computer's doing that for you. It's constantly giving you updates saying, you know, your Titan's going to be ready in 90 seconds. It's going to be ready in 60 seconds, 30 seconds. And then when it gets to 10, it counts down.
And it asks you where exactly you want it.
Right, yeah. Right. And then when you're getting ready to take an objective, say you're playing the Conquest, there's A, B, and C. When you run on B, it tells you you're approaching objective Bravo. beware their enemy units there. You know, take caution and take your time. Check your corners. And it's constantly telling you strategic things while you're playing.
Or if you come around a corner, you're a Titan, and there's three enemy Titans, or there's one approaching you, it's like, you're heavily outnumbered. Watch the fuck out. Or or there's an enemy Titan approaching.
Minus the language.
No, it'll give you a number. It's like, you're outnumbered 2-1. You're outnumbered 3-1. Or you're taking severe damage. Things like that.
So it just makes you more aware. Makes it,
it's so kind of like that part of a big battle.
You can hop out and put it on like the puppy mode where it just like auto does it itself. Then you can run up a building really, really quick and then start sniping as your Titans shooting at the enemy or hopefully catching. So
there was one time where I had my Titan following me.
Yeah.
I ran around and jumped on and rodeoed this other Titan. And I'm shooting. So you the animations, you pop up in a panel and you start shooting it. So he's kind of rocking around. And at the same time, from the front, I can see my Titan punching his Titan as I'm shooting it in the head.
That's awesome.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's I mean, the game is like a giant fucking boner-induced thrill ride the whole time.
And
like, you have a hard-on the whole time you're playing this
game. More of the boner. So say you played this round, right? And you lose.
Oh, this is great.
You've lost the round. Well, now there's like an extra little period of either redemption or for the other team to really just fucking pound you into the ground. If you're the opposing team, you have to run to a specific spot on the map that they put out like an objective, and you have to defend a dropship. You all hop on the dropship, and you take off. And if you leave, you get a bunch of bonus points. So you may have lost the round, but you get a shit ton of points.
Just to keep in mind, it's fucking huge.
Yeah, it's just this big dropship. It comes in. You have to defend and then hop out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the opposing team wants to kill you. And at this point, when it comes to the sudden death match, you're dead. You don't get to come back. There's no respawn on either team. So if the Titans, at that point, if you have two or three Titans shooting the dropship when it comes in, you can explode the dropship, and then you get the points, and it's a fuck you to the other team. So it ends up being this careful balance of, okay, the four of us are playing, I've got a Titan, I will stay and defend and leave here to die, you guys get the points and leave. So the game has all these different progressions.
Well, and there is like no worse feeling than like you lose a match, and you're running and you're parkouring like fucking crazy. You go up a hill and you see your dropship and there's three enemy Titans fucking standing in front of it. And you're like, God damn it.
Right.
Like, it's awesome.
Well, and that ship, it can take a lot of fucking damage.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it get blown up. You said you've done it before.
Yeah, two or three Titans will take it down. But it's so much fun because there was plenty of times when we were playing The Last Titan Standing where I wasn't the last Titan. I was just a pilot. And there would be, you know, our team where there's maybe one Titan to their two Titans, and I'm on a rooftop, and it's just me and this Titan going against two robots, these monster fuckers, and I'm laying into them with my heavy artillery on the rooftop, and then I jump down, and as a pilot, I'm beating the shit out of these giant robots that are trying to shoot this other guy, and the whole time, I felt like, I'm gonna fucking kill both of you. I never felt like, I'm outnumbered, I should hang back. It was, no, I'm getting in this guy's face, and he's gonna fucking die.
That's awesome. I'm excited.
Well, and I think a thing, too, to note, because
I love it. It's such a fun game.
And with the Xbox, you didn't get to play as many of the Titans, but one thing where you can customize and move the builds around, you can also do that with the Titans. So the Titan I liked the most, and I cannot remember the name, but it was the big one. He had this pulse cannon that was basically like, it would shoot four, like almost like mini rockets constantly. So you can actually take that and put that on the faster Titan. And another upgrade the Titans get is it's like an electronic vortex almost. Like they basically, it's like an EMP field. And it jacks up anything within range of it. So you would see, like, somebody would rodeo this Titan, and a Titan hits it, and any person within range is getting fucking fried.
It's an instant kill.
Yeah.
It's a cloud of just, like, static electricity. It's a good way to counter the rodeo if you don't have to get out of your Titan ever. Yeah. Just use that.
And you know, there were so many times, like, really cool things. Like, somebody would be shooting with their machine gun, so I'd put out my shield and pull it, and I'd load up their bolts and shoot back, and they'd pull their shield up and catch my load and shoot it back. It's like, fuck. I meant what I said. Yeah.
You learn pretty quick the different strengths. Yeah. Maybe catching bullets isn't great if they can catch bullets, too.
Yeah.
Oh, because it goes back and forth.
Yeah, because they can catch what you shoot and then blow it back.
It's such a... It's definitely a different experience.
Yeah.
The game is a lot of fun. Yeah. And one, just the little details they've added to it, like, for instance, the different Titans, I didn't get to experience this, but from the videos I watch, when a Titan's about ready to die, if as the normal medium Titan, you melee it, you punch in, grab the pilot, pull him out, and snap him, and then throw him to kill him.
Oh, and having that gun to you is so goddamn demoralizing.
Oh, yeah, because you're
the
just,
worst.
Because you just get ripped out. And the whole when it's ready to eject, the whole time you this little button pops up. And you can there's a perk to where you can automatically eject when your Titan's going to blow up, which is nice. So anyhow, I'm pretty sure it's the Igor. But the heavy class Titan, if you do that same melee at the same period, you rip off the other Titan's arm and then beat them to death until the Titan explodes.
The game has so many hype moments. Like you could you could just turn a match, drop of a dime.
It's the best of the run and gun shooters, the arcade mode, the sci-fi, the parkour. It's got everything.
One and here's the thing:
it's gonna sell.
It's gonna move consoles. And here's the biggest thing about it. So the beta came out. I have a good buddy named Paul. He and I talk. He doesn't game on PC. I talked to him about Titanfall for 10 minutes, and I got a text 3 hours later. I bought an Xbox One. I'm playing Titanfall beta. Are you fucking kidding me? And the biggest thing I learned, because Rich is a race trader, after playing the Titanfall beta by myself for a weekend, I'm going to go buy an Xbox One. Because the biggest key to that game, I mean, it was fun playing with randoms, but my every time I would finish a match, my first thought was, oh my god, if we were shit talking right now, if I had like Lucas and Chris and Tyson and going in on this, like this would be perfect.
Well, there's so many because the maps are surprisingly close for how big of the Titans are, so you're always on top of each other. There were almost every time I did something that was holy shit, Xbox record that. Chris was behind me saying, holy shit, Xbox record that, because he saw from his perspective the exact same thing. So much fun. It's everything I was hoping for. I was really worried since I got an Xbox for this game that I would be disappointed.
I'll honestly
be playing this fucking game nonstop.
I think the end of March we will see a switch in the sales numbers from Xbox One to PS4. I think the Xbox One
I would agree with that.
Just for the Titanfall bundle. And
yeah, for those that don't know, you'll be able to buy an Xbox One with Titanfall for free.
And a month of Xbox Live for $500.
Which is...
it's crazy.
It's the crack.
Yeah.
You wanted to say...
I just wanted to switch it up. So, speaking of Chris, I was playing Smash Bros. With Chris and Lucas and Mike. And
when was this?
I invited you. You had something going on.
Oh, this was when I was in Idaho. Damn it.
We'll do it again. I think we're going to do it again.
I was killing shit with Kirby. Like, I finally found, like...
Kirby.
No, timeout, though.
There's no timeout.
No, timeout. There's a big fucking timeout. Luke's fucking smiling like a little kid. So, I'm coming back from, like, these crazy fucking... like, I should be dead. Well, finally, I get cocky. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a computer assist. So we start out, I think it goes to like 9.
It was Chris and I versus you and a computer.
Right.
We had like 9 lives before you die.
So,
well, before you're out.
Yeah. So the computer, we can choose like medium, hard, hardest, and then like advanced.
0 to 9.
Yeah, 0 to 9. And we started out at like 5 or 6, right?
Yeah, we give you an advantage, I thought.
I was getting fucking slaughtered. Like, these guys are talking so much. They, like, catfished me. Like, they, like, let me fucking win.
We didn't catfish you, motherfucker.
They fucking catfished me. Like, they thought, like, I thought I was getting good.
It was his fucking idea. He was the one who was like, me and a computer versus you two.
So it was two fucking Kirbys, like, the computer Kirby and my Kirby? Yeah, we were the same color. So, like, you couldn't tell who was who, kind of?
You could.
Oh, yeah, well, they could.
The indicator over your head.
Oh, sure. But I didn't think that. So I was like, oh, dude, I'm going to rock this. Well, I didn't. Like, we got up. Like, I was getting fucking bodied, like, destroyed, like, easy, like, 1 fucking minute. They were just wiping me out. And, like, we put it on, like, 9. And these guys are crying, fucking laughing, just beating me. And I'm just, like, so defeated. Like, you want to go again? Dude, we played that game for, like, 3 hours easy.
It was awesome.
3 hours.
We need to stream playing it.
Dude, I was fucking swearing, and I was like, why don't I fucking get this? I was like, dude, it's easy, just hit these fucking buttons right here. I'm like,
I told them, it's all about the power-ups on that game.
Yeah, it's all, you gotta get your power-ups.
So dude, but these guys, they're so competitive.
Smash Brothers coming out this year, we'll do some cool stuff with it. But, fucking Titanfall, Tyson.
I told you, I'm getting,
I want to talk Mike into it, but I don't know if I'll be able to. Because it's, I had him play it, he's like, I don't want to play this. Oh!
Mike was good.
I forgot. So here's the biggest fuck you to everybody in the entire game. So there's sniper rifles, right, with the DMRs and everything. There's a pistol called the smart pistol.
Oh, I love that thing.
It's the biggest fuck you to everybody in the game where they've said, we're going to do whatever we want. You're still going to love the game.
Mike had a fun time with the pistol.
It's true. So you run into an area, and within a certain proximity, pretty far. You wave the pistol across, just wave it across. You don't zoom in. You just wave the pistol, and then it puts a point on that guy's head, the computer guy's headshots, and it's all these lines that go to it. You can do like up like to five or six. Like a spider web. And then you pull the trigger, and then it auto hits them all in the fucking head.
All
it's
headshot. You get like here's 10 headshots.
To target a human player, an actual player, it has to lock 3 times. But once it does, that fucking bullet will go around a corner.
Yeah.
And there is nothing better than you're running behind a guy who doesn't see you, and you boop. Goes around the corner, pull the trigger, and you just watch.
And you see headshot.
Bang! And you're like, fuck you.
Yeah, it's the biggest, it's so like, great. Oh, you're really skilled with the sniper or that gun? Guess what?
Guess what? Shit. Everybody has an auto pistol, motherfucker. Oh, it's so great.
And it's definitely OP, but not...
It doesn't work balanced. On drones though, does it? It doesn't work on the computer drones.
It's a headshot on the drones. It's
an instant shot, an instant target. So like you can clear a whole room full of those guys in like 2 shots.
I was curious about that.
And the shotgun is awesome. Shotgun's great. Fucking mean.
Like, the thing about the game is, like, yes, some of that stuff is overpowered, but it's not like it's in one spot. Everybody fucking has it, so it balances itself.
When you're fucking fighting with robots.
Yeah. Like, you need an auto pistol to survive that shit.
Hop in the fucking robot, you'll be all right.
Yeah, drop the... Oh, God. So that game's going to end lives. It's going to end mine. Like, I'm literally saving every extra penny. I'm picking up quarters off the ground so I can buy an Xbox One and play that shit.
So, all right, so Titanfall sounds awesome.
It's going to be amazing.
That's going to be the game of the year.
We got to headlong into a break here in just a minute, so we got a couple other agenda items. So
Jesus Christ, I have to go fast.
Castlevania. Talk to me about a game I don't give a shit about.
Yeah, well, sounds like the podcast every month.
You're welcome. Sounds like we've had mixed reviews over this Castlevania.
Yeah, so, you know, well, I'm not going to call out one of our writers.
Well, you can say her robot name. She didn't like it, and
I don't know. I don't know what her robot name
is. Miss Mecha Zero. Okay,
so, you know, 1 hour in, there's no story. Well, apparently it took you and whoever you were playing with 1 hour to do the tutorial. So...
you're saying you disagree with
You're welcome. I disagree. I feel like the ratings I'm seeing, like Polygon gave it a 5. I disagree with that. Most places gave it a 6.5 to a 7.5. That I do agree with. You know, it's very where I'm at in the game right now. I feel like it's a little bit lost. You know, the combat system is really great, but some of the mechanics are a little old. For example,
when you're a Castlevania nut,
I'm a huge full disclosure fucking sleeve. Yeah, I love that game. I'm the guy that liked Lament of Innocence on PS2. I loved Castlevania 64, which I think those two are probably the most hated Castlevanias in the series.
I think you're right.
And I played the crap out of them. But the thing that this one has is I feel like Kojima may have gotten a little heavy-handed, and this is just me speculating, but it's very like steampunk Castlevania. Mm. And so what happens is you play this beautiful intro, and you're in this gorgeous – I mean, you're Gabriel Belmont, who is Dracula, at the height of his prime at the beginning of the game. So you have this gorgeous castle filled with all these amazing-looking fucking minions – and basically, I don't know why that's funny, but basically,
you've got this. I picture you like standing in front of like a stair, like a big, long, windy stair, and like there's all these fucking vampire bitches around you.
No, no. But so the door gets smashed in, and the order that you were a part of is now trying to kill you.
You got a red leather coat like fucking Dante.
Exactly. That's the point I'm making. And they come blasting in, and you're like drinking a gold goblet full of blood, and you get up and you're like.
Like you do.
Like you do. And you just rip the shit out of
Make
all of them.
Make it again.
Right? And you kill all of them, and you drink their blood, and it's really cool, but it gets really grindy. So you have two types of powers. You've got holy, and you've got dark.
I'm sorry.
I don't know why is this funny? I don't understand. It's
funny because you talked about the gold goblet. And
I'm picturing
just
you.
See you like throwing the fucking goblet, like make this shit again. Make it again. Sir, it's just blood.
I said all positive. God damn it. Make it again. All positive.
I'm sorry, Dom. Go ahead.
My God. So, you know, you kill all of them, you go through that whole part. I don't even know what I was talking about anymore. So the order that Gabriel is a part of, and you've got two powers. You've got holy and you've got dark. So the way you recharge that as the more bad guys you hit without taking a hit, you'll get to a focus point. Then every hit will release these blood orbs. So to absorb the blood orbs...
You've lost him. Just keep talking.
So the more blood orbs you... If you hold down the left trigger, or left, you click on the left thumbstick, it pulls blood orbs into the holy side. You click on the right thumbstick, it pulls blood orbs into the evil side. But then you find these like blood fountains that will give you the abilities. And it's the same thing. You have to stand by them and click in the thumbstick, and your guy's, like, pulling them in.
To, like, pick a...
Yeah, to pick a side. And my whole time, I'm like, why wouldn't I just push B? And you just say, pick a side. And just let me see an animation. Like, it's... Some of the stuff like that feels grindy. Same with, when you go to kill an enemy, you suck their blood. If you want to gain life off of them. So you stun them, you grab them, and it is the same... video, like, the same... What are they called? The real-time cutscene or whatever. Basically... You hit B, he grabs him, this little orb appears, and as soon as the two orbs line up, you hit B again, and you're done. So there's some stuff like that that really, to me, doesn't add up.
So you wouldn't say it's a must-play?
If you're a Castlevania nut like me, probably. If you're Joe Schmo, buy it for $30. The other thing that really concerns me is you get through like this intro in this beautiful castle, do the whole thing, suddenly you're in like 2020. And your castle has been, like, basically this huge city's been built on your castle, and your the parapet that you hang out in as Dracula and be all dark and brooding and shit is the only part that's left. And so basically Zobek, who is voiced by Patrick Stewart, comes back, and he is it's like a basically a minion of death. I don't know how to describe him. I think he is death himself. But you talk to him, and he's like, hey, I'm going to help you be mortal because you've been cursed with more immortality, this little Dracula thing. But you've got to help me stop Satan from bringing his people back, which is another... makes the game kind of weird. So then you're walking around in, like, this futuristic society with cars and cell phones and people. And then so you're there, and then suddenly you find a part of your castle, which is built on this city, and you're back in, like, Victorian age, and you're running through the Dracula stuff, like, through his old memories. So I just, as where I am right now, like, I almost feel like they're pulling influence from, like, Metal Gear. They're pulling influence from Devil May Cry, and then they're pulling in all the Castlevania stuff. And so it feels lost is the point of everything, you know? The boss I just beat, she looks more like a villain or a demon that would be in the Devil May Cry series and less something that would be in the Castlevania series.
Sure.
Whereas I felt with the original Lords of Shadow, you know, you were fighting this giant bat monster and she was like the lord of the vampires. And then you fight, you know, this giant werewolf beast and he's the lord of the lichens. And you fight Death, right? And you fight Satan. So you fight that, they kind of level you up through it, and you fight these monsters, like classic horror monsters. And then in this one, you're fighting this weird demon-y woman with laser whips. So it's...
Right.
Ivy.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel like... It feels like it's lost its way a little bit. But at the same time, I'm loving playing it, and it's a gorgeous-looking game. So it's definitely... I think the medium reviews are good. I think putting it at a 5, like, you're almost saying it has, like, technical problems, which it doesn't. I just feel like either Kojima got heavy-handed or the development team really lost their guidance, but something's going on there where I feel like Castlevania's lost its way a little bit, and that bums me out. But I'm still going to play through the game at least twice.
So what would you... Moving on.
Yep.
I'm taking over.
Go for it.
I was just going to say Strider.
Strider,
I was
just going
to say, I downloaded it, but I haven't got a chance to play it. I hear it's really good.
It's really good. You have to be into the, like, challenging kind of... pattern-based hack-and-slash games. So it's almost... It's a throwback to the original Strider. It's built on that Metro...
That was PlayStation, wasn't it?
No, the original Strider was like NES, man.
Oh. Yeah. Was there one on the PlayStation?
I think there was at one point. Sorry, yeah, go ahead. I could be wrong. But no, it's... So it's, you know, that side-scroller action where you have this massive map, and as you unlock new abilities, those abilities allow you to progress into the world and push the story forward.
Somewhere like Metroid.
Yeah, Metroid, the old Castlevanias, things like that. And I really like it. The thing I like the most is... It's super serious, and, like, you're this, you know, dark, brooding ninja, you're Strider Hero, and you're doing the whole thing. And then suddenly, like, a villain pops out that you have to fight, and their name is, like, Noon Pang. And they have this awkward animation, and it's really funny.
Well, Chris was telling me it was very similar to these old games where you just get dropped in it.
Yeah.
It's not so much a big, long cutscene, and stories like, nope, here, run to the right, kill shit.
And the hardest part for me, honestly, the first 10 minutes of the game was the hardest part I found so far because I had no idea what the fuck I was supposed to do, and suddenly there's guys shooting at me and swords flying. Right. So once you kind of figure out the mechanics, it becomes really fun, and the boss battles are awesome because, I mean, it's still pretty randomly generated, but they'll give you, like, visual cues of what they're going to do, and you're basically going to have to memorize, okay, when they do this shit, there's going to be a sequence of patterns of what they're going to do and ways I have to dodge and kill them. So it's like
Mega Man timed attacks kind of thing where you got to memorize the boss's AI.
Yeah, so, like, there's one where you fight, she's the North Wind, and she's shooting these purple lasers at you. So when she starts doing that, you can slide across the ground under her laser and then start beating the shit out of her. And then when you fight this other wind, she'll do these dive kicks at the ground. So you have to basically dash back and right as she's coming towards the ground, you've got to unload with like a charged hit. So it's just really fun, and it's
sounds
really,
like a fun.
It's classic. A good looking, fun kind of classic hill.
So would you really say that's like a must play
for $15? You'd be crazy not to, especially if you have an next gen console.
Because there's nothing. Is it only Xbox or is it Xbox?
No, it's PS4, Xbox One, PC, and I don't know if I think PS3 got it. PS Vita got it. No, PS3 got it, and I believe Xbox 360 might have got it as well.
So what about what's this Wolf Among Us episode 2 bullshit?
So Wolf Among Us is Telltale Games, same guys that did the Back to the Future point and click, the Sam & Max point and click, the Walking Dead point and click, which won Game of the Year through multiple places. So they're using Bill Willingham's Fables.
Oh, okay.
And they already did episode 1 last year, episode 2.
Which is a comic book for those that don't know.
Right, and it's based on, you know, all the old fables, but it's like they're in the modern world and they have to basically disguise themselves, and it's not a kid's fairy tale. It's dark, it's profane, there's prostitutes and strippers and cocaine, and it's dark as hell. But so this one basically...
Jimmy's dreams.
Yeah, it's like everything Jimmy wanted. So in Fables episode 2, episode 1 ends, spoiler alert if you haven't played it yet, with... you find Snow White's head on the porch of the apartment where all the fables live. And Snow White is Ichabod Crane's assistant, and he runs, like, the government, essentially, and he's a total fucking douchebag. And so you're, as, you know, you're the big bad wolf or Bigby, and you're trying to figure out who's killing, because people are starting to, like, people are dying off, and you've been working with Snow White on this, so you're pretty freaked out. Come to find out, beginning episode 2, she's not actually dead. They have glamour, which changes what they look like. And basically this troll, who was a hooker, was taking glamour to look like Snow White for one of her clients, and then she gets killed. I'm telling you, this...
Fables has won quite a few Eisner Awards.
Yeah, it's pretty dark. And so then, as you're investigating... And like, I think the epitome of like me realizing how messed up the story is you go in, you're investigating somebody, and the girl worked for Georgie Porgy. You know, the guy that fucker. Yeah, right? So you walk in, and he's...
Like, here's the thing. No, I know you're I know the source material.
Right,
it's good.
It is really good.
And all the Telltale point and click games are awesome.
Yeah.
Nothing about what you're describing right now makes this not sound awesome.
It's just
like,
Georgie.
I say Georgie Porgy,
like,
yeah.
No, but it's like to try to verbally like
it's hard.
Verbally you know, explain it. It's just like, so, oh, geez, so, like, it's a troll who took glamour.
It used to be a hooker.
Yeah, so Georgie, they call him Georgie. He owns a club called The Pudding and Pie, of course, right? Yeah. And it's basically, it's for strippers.
No
and,
shit.
Yeah, that's the thing. So you're like, oh, yeah, it's funny, right?
And the pudding and the...
And then you go in there, and the fucking Little Mermaid is like... stripping on a pole.
Because why wouldn't she?
Because why wouldn't she be? And so like it's just so dark. And
I really want to play this game.
It's really, really good. But like you don't know it's a Little Mermaid, and then when she tells you what her name is, you're like, oh my fucking Christ,
Do they have it on iOS yet?
Yes they do.
Okay.
Yep, it's on iOS. It's actually, I think it was like the number one selling game on iOS last month. It's
okay. I'm gonna have to pick it up.
You know, so season pass, $25. You get them an episodic content. They've already got two in. They're about 2 to 2.5 hours a piece if you really, like, explore everything.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So
I want to do it.
Like the pudding and pie.
Yeah,
I'm going to go mop up the club.
And that's the thing. You're like, I need to talk to Georgie. And this guy's like, oh, he owns the pudding and pie.
Me and Sebastian over here are going to fucking clean the poles.
So I want to skip the sales numbers one.
We can pass on that.
I want to lead that into, I think that it's amazing that these Telltale games, these point and click adventures that everybody thought were dead,
are wrecking it.
They're fucking so making so much money. They don't cost very much to make, whereas big studios like BioShock are shutting because they can't make the numbers for what the games cost.
But they're not shutting because of a financial thing, though.
I know, but they still didn't make the numbers that they thought.
Right, but I mean, Kevin Levine is Kevin Levine, right?
Yeah,
he's shutting it down because he wants to go to other shit.
Right, but that's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
You're seeing these big budget games not delivering.
No, I think the AAA studios have something
like
to consider.
Telltale.
I mean, well, and that's the thing is these indie studios, and it was there was an interview I read, and I can't remember which podcast I've talked about this on, but essentially it was the guy that makes Crysis, and Crytek is not a big studio.
Sure.
You know, I think they have like 50 to 100 employees, probably more, but. Not, I mean, EA has thousands,
as far as studios
right?
are concerned,
yeah. And people are like, well, you know, what lets you operate at the level you operate? And he was like, you know, honestly, we don't have the fears that EA and Activision have. We don't have a world headquarters. We don't have an HR department that's 50 people. We have 2 people. And we don't have to make $4 billion for a game to be successful.
Right.
Their overhead is greatly reduced, so they can take these risks. I do have a concern with Telltale, though. I'm starting to feel like they might be a one-trick pony in the way of, okay, they just bought the – they're going to do the Borderlands game. It's going to be amazing. If you think the Borderlands point-and-click's not going to be fucking hilarious, you're crazy. The Game of Thrones one I'm not as excited about because I've never watched Game of Thrones, but seeing as we'll be reviewing it, I'll probably have to do that. But that means they are at some point, possibly this year, going to have four of these point-and-click franchises running simultaneously.
Right, but those point-and-click franchises, like...
They're awesome.
I grew up, like, a lot of the LucasArts stuff. Monkey like, two Island, of my favorite...
Full Throttle, Day of the Tentacle.
Full Throttle and Dig were two of my favorite games to play on the computer growing up. So the fact that these are coming back, because it's good, because it doesn't get you all, like, to play... I mean, I haven't played it yet, but I can tell you I'll already be like, it's Titanfall, right? Really high energy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're into it and stuff. Like, anytime I play, like, Battlefield or Call of Duty or anything like that, like, you're really involved. I have to have, like, an hour of downtime before I go to bed. Like, I need to, like, put on a TV show and, like, I can't go straight to bed because my mind's just racing. Like, oh, well, if I had done this, and next time I'm going to try this, all this shit, right? These point-and-click games are great because it's like, hey, I feel like playing a game. I can pull it up, proceed through my adventure for however much time I've got. Save it and back out, and I'm not like, I mean, I'm curious. I'm thinking about like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen next in the story, or well, you know, all, I need to go explore this area.
Like watching part of a TV show or reading.
It's an interactive, it's interactive and stuff. So I need to get, I need to get Wolf Among Us.
Wolf Among Us is awesome. I guess the other thing I'm saying is, I feel like you know they'll do Borderlands, they'll do Game of Thrones, but I'm worried that they're going to hit like a Tony Hawk point.
Maybe oversaturate the market a little bit.
Which I mean, don't get me wrong. I feel like we're in a renaissance. I mean, Broken Age was fucking incredible, right? And that's Tim Schafer. The guy who did most of the games that you loved.
Yep. Well, he's the Kickstarter. Yeah,
doing the like Kickstarter.
Phenomenon.
Yeah, and it blew up, right? And, I mean, honest to God, like, playing Broken Age, I felt just as amazing playing Broken Age as I felt the first time I played Day of the Tentacle.
Yeah.
It was right there.
So, and that's, and I don't think, with these games, I don't know if there's as much of a concern about oversaturating the market.
Right.
With,
because they're individual stories.
Because they're different stories, and I mean, for someone, you know, if their thing is sci-fi, you know, kind of going back, they would play Dig and stuff, right? But if your thing is more fantasy and stuff these days, you know, they'll pick up the Game of Thrones ones or the Wolf Among Us.
Being that they're mobile, then people that don't normally play games, it's like, I love Game of Thrones. I will play this Game of Thrones one, here. Maybe not the others.
Yep, one. I mean, so
that's the biggest point I wanted to make was that I think we're going to see a shift where you're not going to have these big budget, big studio games as often. It's going to, at least stories like Bioshock. I mean, you still have the fucking like Call of Duty bullshit.
See, but that's
not even big budget because they're just fucking pumping out the same game every year.
Yeah, and that makes me sad too, though, because I mean, Bioshock for me, especially Infinite, it redefined what a video game could be for me. It really did.
I completely agree. I just feel like
we're going to have to rely on indie studios to do that.
Yeah, I don't think that in the big publishing world you can have that continue to happen without them saying, oh, you did Bioshock Infinite, it was great, do that same thing again.
But now you got to do it again, and you've got to be 10% more successful.
Right, whereas, hey, remember what they did with Bioshock or Last of Us that inspired everybody? You that can take risks, small studio, do it.
Do that, and we'll help you. And I agree with that. I just, you know, and with the Bioshock closure, if I can say my personal opinion that nobody cares about, but I really hope nobody tries to fill Irrational Games shoes on this and do another game.
I agree. I hope it's done.
Like, what needs to happen is it needs to be shelved for 20, 25 years and then revisited. If it gets revisited at all, we don't need to see another Bioshock game for 20 to 25 years or 10 to 15 years. I could be speaking, but I mean, kind of like, you know, they did System Shock, it was huge, and then they waited about 10, 15 years. And then did Bioshock. It needs to be the same thing.
Well, and I hope they do the game justice. To System, do their own thing again.
Yep.
Similar.
Yeah, like, older story or whatever. We're the guys that did Bioshock.
It's going to be similar,
but it's not. And that would be amazing. But I was really, really sad to read that blog post. I think I get what he's doing. You know, I think it's great. He was having a career day and the 2K and all these developers were coming out to farm his people. At the same time, it's like, really, bro, you're just going to walk out on your studio because you're bored?
I kind of feel like too, is that there might have been more pressure outside that we don't see from, you know,
The board of directors. And that's possible. It's one of those things where, you know. Because
especially, we don't know this. This is just speculation. But if they came in and said, yeah, this was great. Like, it was revolutionary. You won Game of the Year. But you didn't hit your numbers. So your next Bioshock can't be this creative or this. We need you to suck it in and do this instead.
Yeah, he's like, how can you make your BioShock more Call of Duty-ish or something?
But that's all speculation.
Yeah, it's all speculation, but... So, I guess,
before we take a break, did you want to talk about...
I think we should talk about it during the discussion because we're already like 20 minutes or 10 minutes.
All right, so we'll lead off with your thing, Jimmy, when we come back. Stick with us. We're going to talk about game nostalgia, and Jimmy's going to tell us how he's been trolling Tom.
Oh, my God.
With his what did you refer to? Day one T-Hawk. So stick around.
We'll have to take a
break. What up, Internet? This is Tom from the Entertainment is Dead podcast. And if you haven't had enough of me already, come on over to entertainmentisdead.com where you'll get some quality stuff like this.
Like, he took his game studio and he went home.
He's part of the Sriracha relocation program.
You're not a hater.
You
I really just
it.
Don't want that to be the one that breaks my computer's cherry.
So you can come grab this dose of ridiculousness every Wednesday until the end of time. You can find us once again at www.entertainmentisdead.com where you can stream the audio right off the site, on iTunes, also on Stitcher. If you want to communicate with us, you can reach us on Twitter at EIDpodcast. We're basically everywhere. We'll catch you guys there.
Tom always has a good time with the podcast.
I love the podcast, man. It's my time to unwind.
Oh, no, I do too.
Your Titanfall. I don't usually splooge over games.
Dude, you really, you don't need to sell me anymore on it. Like, I'm already, like, chomping
at the
bit.
I just like to talk about it.
Yeah,
let's do, like, a Titanfall night. We all need to get together, like, 4 TVs, Ethernet cables, and just go fucking crazy. And then play Titanfall.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know why, Tom, but, like, everything you've said tonight has had so much gay anyway.
We just need to take our clothes off, fuck each other.
Yeah.
So he catches my load.
And then I swallow
it. And I throw it back at him.
I swallow it first.
Go, 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 go.
I totally forgot that I had those in the package turtles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know you had 2 sets.
Well, I went out.
Oh, wait, I think I do.
You remember, Tiff had already bought me some. And then I went out and bought some. And she's like, well, here, you can go return these then. And I'm like, the fuck would I return them for? Now I have my open ones. Oh. I can have some in the package. So
it's like buying comics.
Those ones are pretty sweet.
Buy ones to read, buy ones to collect.
Plus my Donatello. Like I said, I still maintain that he's fucked up.
Where am I?
What's wrong with
him? His shoulder joints. Like, I don't think they got...
Hmm? We're recording, by the way.
He's stuck like this. Like,
yeah. We're recording, by the way.
Okay, cool. Let's jump into it. My headphones are dead.
Alright, you're fine.
It's cereal, bro.
Welcome back to the Big Shiny Podcast, where we're talking video games this week, and we're going to kick it off. Jimmy's favorite thing, I think, right now is trolling Tom during fighting games.
Yeah.
So, Jimmy, you want to give us your latest experience?
Yeah, so Tom had texted me that we're going to be doing a Street Fighter tournament on Saturday. By the time the show comes out, we had the Street Fighter tournament, so the next episode we'll tell you how that went. Anyways, he's doing a review for Big Shiny Robot for Castlevania, and I told him I want to pick up a character that I've never played before and just see how it goes. So I picked the biggest...
In Street Fighter 4
Arcade Edition.
So he picks the biggest, most racist character, for the record. Continue.
I pick a big, giant Mexican guy named T-Hawk. Yeah, just a big brute.
He's a Mexican Indian.
I was gonna say, I thought he was Indian.
No, he's Mexican. That's what's even better.
Yeah, he's Mexican.
He's a Mexican.
And he doesn't have a hawk that flies on his arm. It's a bald eagle.
But he's called T-Hawk.
But he's called T-Hawk. So it's kind of like, it's even funnier. So
I don't think the Japanese people understand.
No, I don't think they do either. So I get online and I start working people that have like years and years and years of fucking experience with like one or two characters, and I start beating them with the character that I picked up that day. Like, just doing, like, just simple shit, right?
Now, let's preface this with, I mean, you're good at fighting games, right?
I'm all right.
Well, he's genetically predispositioned.
Well, yeah, right. But at the same time, like, you have Emperor. To put...
King of Fighters?
You have to put in a little bit
King
of work.
King of Fighters,
you
practice, right?
Yeah, yeah. I do practice. Fact, I do know the
fact
basics.
That you picked up a character and just started decimating people.
Yeah.
Well, it's not common.
And the recorded matches.
Nor would it be expected.
Yeah, and in Street Fighter, like, you don't do that often because there's so much to it. So,
yeah, you don't.
So he does this.
So I'm drinking by myself, laughing at this. And I'm recording all the matches that I play, which I have, which I'll show you guys, be happy to show you guys. Or we could upload them to the fucking site so I can jack myself off.
There you go. I'm fine with that.
So I'm laughing hysterically. I'm like, Tom, you got to get online and play me. Like, this shit is just the funniest thing to me.
So I'm trying to grind through this review because, like, basically they didn't give me the review code till like 2:30 p.m. on launch day. So I'm already behind. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to work.
He's stressed out, and you could tell in his text back, like, that's okay, dude. All right. See you, dude. Yeah.
Right, so I gotta go, dude. So I get this text. Played a guy who's at 3 characters, 4,000 BP. I beat him 3 times his rank. T-Hawk, Akuma, Viper. He played Chun-Li, Oni, Ryu. And then he sends me a picture of the windscreen climbing up again. And I'm like, no way, man. I sent you a response. You're doing good. And he's like, yeah, now he won't play me. And I'm like, you know, funny. Mm-hmm. He's like, read your response. I like it. Now I just need Luke to chime in. We're talking about the podcast. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, who do you like most so far? Viper, T-Hawk, Akuma? He's like, T-Hawk. I'm like, yeah, he's pretty good. And I get, yeah, I can't lose. I'm drunk as fuck and I can't lose. So this is where it really derails.
So then Tom jumps on.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh no, I want to stop streaming Castlevania so I can beat your drunk ass. And then the onslaught comes. So I've got like, shit is hilarious to me. Get on. I'll crack another beer. My day one T-Hawk is beating everyone's mains. I'm not making this shit up. Nobody trains for T-Hawk, so they don't know what's coming. I beat a deadly player and he messaged me to go fuck myself.
Yeah.
Bison bodies me, frowny emails, face. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Hate messages, yeah.
Bison then, bodies.
Yeah, so then...
Oh, we skip all that and we go to cereal, bro.
Oh, yeah. So then I find out, I'm like, all right, we're going to play. He's like, okay. So I get on.
I drank from 5:30... to 9:30 and I haven't had a fucking like one little tiny little drop of fucking food. I've just been liquored. And so, I'm like, God, I am so fucking hungry. So I pour my bowl of cereal after playing Tom.
Yeah, so we played. Like, I think you beat me in the first of five, right, with your T-Hawk?
No, you did.
No, because he
you
was won, randomly picking. So he started randomly picking fucking characters.
I pick people I've never played before because I'm feeling myself so much. I'm like, I don't pick people. I don't even fucking know.
So I started doing the same thing and I took him to town. I took him to the cleaners. And so then...
So then I sent him this.
So then at the end, I get this picture of oat blenders. And all it says is, I'm cereal, bro.
Like, I'm serious, bro. But I put, I'm cereal, bro.
This is the off-brand of Honey Bunches.
Yeah. So I'm delicious.
Like, oat blenders, motherfucker. And then suddenly I get... He sends me this link and he goes, we need to play Aquapaza together because it's on sale on PlayStation. And I'm like, yeah, I like Aquapaza. And then, like, he just rants at me for a while. And I talk about James Chen's awesome stash. And 3 hours later... Where is this?
Aqua Pizza.
Yeah, I get this text like, I want pizza. ... Oh my God, Aqua Pizza. And then he starts telling me about this amazing invention called Aqua Pizza and how good it would be.
You could eat it and it hydrates and just all like, at the same fucking time.
So yeah. At this point, I'm like trying to go to bed and I'm in tears.
How high were you?
Oh, he was...
Not that high, but yeah.
Oh, here it is. So I'm like, Street Fighter's so competitive. I love it. So many tools. I wish I had some pizza. Aqua Pizza. Yeah, we'll play that soon. Just like...
Yeah.
So it was pretty amazing. But the moral of the story is, so Jimmy picked up T-Hawk, and he's pulled me off Castlevania and beat the shit out of me with his T-Hawk. And we played tonight
for the podcast. That was pretty okay.
And with your T-Hawk, you beat... Well, until I picked up Guy, you beat me with pretty much everybody. So that's all.
Good work, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy's... So if Jimmy has your phone number and you have a copy of Street Fighter, I'm warning you now.
Let's jump in.
You'll get derailed. So
my favorite part is that me and my brother-in-law and Lucas's brother Mike and our friend Taylor, we have a standing Tuesday-Thursday appointment to play racketball.
Oh, yeah. Keep that up, too. Sorry.
Every Tuesday-Thursday.
Yeah.
I've told Jimmy.
I know this.
I've told Jimmy this
like 100 times.
Because like he kept
it's fun. Yeah, I only made it the once, but it's fun.
Well, so he kept texting me like on Tuesdays or a Thursday. He would text me like, "Hey,
those are my lucky nights."
Well, but I felt bad because it was like he's always asking me to get on and play some Marvel vs. Capcom 3. And
you did though. Oh, we're gonna get into that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
So I've done it, but he was always texting me on Tuesday and Thursday. I was like, "Hey, look, man, I actually play racquetball from 7 to 9."
And look, man.
I get home and I shower, so you know Tuesdays and Thursdays are a no-go for me. Text me any other day, and I'll see if I can hop on.
Get hosed off on Wednesdays
for two more weeks after racquetball. I grab my phone out of a little cubby thing, and I've got like 23 text messages from him and Tom, like because they've included me in this group message, like. Hey, Tom and I are going to get on. And then Tom messaged me. Hey, Jimmy and I are going to get on for a couple rounds if you want to join. I'm just like...
20 minutes later, I'm fucking done.
Yeah.
I ended up not getting on. And then I see this message come in the group. Yeah, I'm done playing with Jimmy.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is like, it's this like decline. Like, hey, we're going to hop on for a few rounds if you want to join us. Ah, ha, ha, fuck you, Tom. Oh, I almost had you that time. Then nothing for like 15 minutes. fuck you, Jimmy.
that's because of Marvel. Marvel versus Capcom brings out the worst in me. And
Tom gets aggressive. I get like fuck offs like from Tom. Like,
well, it's because you're fucking Hulk, man. Like, there's nothing worse when you know a move is slow as shit and anything should counter it, but it has armor, and so it goes, "Hey, I'm gonna hit him." And I'm dead. It's like, fucking Hulk, piece of shit.
So
there's that.
And that's why we play Smash Brothers. Because Jimmy's not very good at it. Tom's even worse.
But it's only a matter of time. Smash Brothers. Because that's how it was with Injustice, too.
I want to go buy a GameCube just so I can get a Smash Brothers. If
I have it, then... I would let you borrow my Smash Brothers if you want to play it.
I don't think I would, though. Because right now I'm doing some Mortal Kombat.
You're playing every fighting game simultaneously?
I want to go over and play some Mortal Kombat.
And I could do some stupid shit.
I know, that's the thing. Like, I got Injustice, and he came over and played and stuff, and it was...
Tyson was good.
It was good, yeah.
You still are good.
Nah,
well,
but...
he can blame me for giving him that fucking Xbox.
Yeah, well, so then... And then, like, after we played it a couple times, and he got acclimated to it before he got the Xbox and stuff, then that's when it was really fun, because it was kind of even, right? Like, he'd win a couple, I'd win a couple, we'd go back and forth, one and one, da-da-da. And then I hear that Lucas has... lent him an Xbox, and Jimmy's gone out and picked up Injustice.
I had to.
Then, hey, I want to play some Injustice. Like, yeah, man, let's play some Injustice. I will never play fucking Injustice with Jimmy again. Like,
infuriating. Show you some shit, though. There's some cool shit you can do with some stupid.
Yeah,
shit.
I know.
He'll show you by whooping your ass.
Yeah, by whooping my ass.
So Nick got it. No, I showed Nick some cool shit.
Yeah,
but you did.
So on that note, he games play that with influenced that us so, or changed our lives are.
I want to run this since just for time's sake.
Time's sake, go ahead.
You got to think about this. Okay. We usually stick to it. You get one game. You pick one game and why it influenced you.
Okay.
Like 5 minutes each at most. Three to whatever. Okay.
I'm gonna have to do two games though. Sorry.
You one game.
Two games.
Tom doesn't get a turn. Jimmy.
I would say the one game would be the Turtles arcade game, where it was the co-op, because that was like
that was fun.
That was the oldest game I can remember. Even like obviously I remember Mario and stuff, but the Turtles game was the one I was so excited about. I would go to fucking all those stupid pizza places and play it.
Now, do you remember, like, you'd play the arcade version, like, at the pizza place or the skating rink or whatever, right?
Classic skating.
Mm-hmm. And then they had the home versions, right?
Like TMNT 2, which was actually pretty close.
Yeah, no, it was cool. That it was, arcade, like, the same nothing. It was the same idea, but, like, the graphics weren't quite as good. The story was a little different.
If I could get like, that cabinet, nuances. That would be the shit.
I've looked, man.
Yeah, you like can't
$1,500
find.
Bucks.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah. They're sweet, but...
But I just remember, like, this is really fun, but I'm disappointed. Because as a kid, like, you don't really understand, right? So you're like, oh, this is the game that I've been playing at the arcade. And you take it home, and you plug it in, you're like...
Well,
this isn't the same.
You have to actually stand where, because you have to stand if you want Leo here.
Yeah,
you
it was stand blue, up. Purple.
Yeah, you got to stand in the right.
Orange and red.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah,
you had to stand. Its own,
like, I never played the arcade.
Oh, yeah, the arcade was color-coded.
Yeah, the buttons were the right colors and everything.
Yeah, so
if you want to rap, you got to line up far right.
I've never played it.
Yeah,
Leo was far left.
Yeah.
Donatello, Michelangelo.
Leo, Dono, Mike, and Raph on the right.
Yeah, Raph on the right.
Yeah, so whichever turtle you wanted to be, you had to grab that controller. Yeah, that was a good game.
I was always fucking pissed with some... punk ass motherfucking kid was at the purple controller, asshole.
But that game, because of the co-op and just how exciting it was,
it was playing arcade games in general as a kid, because I don't know, it's almost Simpsons. Like gambling. You're like,
the Simpsons
roll.
Co-op game.
Oh yeah,
likewise. Cents, yeah,
I can't tell you how many.
I got a little story about that. If you don't mind, if I share this quick anecdote,
please do.
So one summer. Our buddy Jordan and I, we got a summer pass to classic skating, right? Because both sets of our parents worked, and it was like one of those things, like back in the day, it was a place like they could drop us off. They'd go work their afternoon shift and then come pick us up. And you were play arcade games, do some skating, whatever, right?
Snowballing
it with some honeys.
Mm. Mm. Maybe some dudes too. I don't know.
Yeah. It was a crazy time. Those
mud balls and snowballs.
Yeah. But, I remember one time, and I don't know if Jordan was with me, but someone was with me, got dropped off there, and I was like, oh, I'm going to play the Simpsons game. And I had, like, some extra money on me, right? So extra money being, like, $5. I'm like, I'm going to blow all $5 on this game. like I'm gonna get further than I've ever gotten, right? Because like 50 cents wouldn't get you that far. No, like
and this
Baxter Stockman, like, level bitch, one.
We bitch about pay one to boss, play now. Right?
Yeah,
these were pay to play.
Yeah, these were pay to play.
Beat the game on a quarter.
So we get there and I'm all amped. Got my $5 in my pocket. Gonna change it in for some quarters. Walk over there, game's fucking being fixed.
No.
And I was just like, I was crushed, right? And I'm just like, fine. So I go off, do some skating, whatever. Finally, like, and I keep, like, every time I'd, like, go by that part of the rink.
You're checking it.
Like, I'm, like, looking, like, watching the guy, like, he's got to, yeah, I'm like, he's got to be close to done, right?
So fix the quarter slot.
Guy finishes up, walks away. I'm like, oh, perfect. Grab my buddy. Walk over there. All lives for all four characters, for whatever reason, maxed out at 99.
Oh, you're probably testing that or something,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I was like, oh my, like, I didn't even, like, I dropped in my quarters before I even realized, and I looked at the lives, and I was like, I had dropped in the quarters, died, and thinking my game was over. I'm like, oh, it's still going. And then, like, my buddy pointed out, like, oh my God, we've all got 99 lives.
Oh my God.
I was like, holy shit, we beat the Simpsons game.
Yep,
nice. The Simpsons arcade game. I was so excited. One of the best days of my life.
Told your parents about it. They didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, they gave exactly zero shits.
Okay, so in our arcade room, we need Simpsons and Turtles.
That's
what,
right.
What else is next in that?
Well, no, hold on. That's,
so I want to hear your game story.
That's not okay. My game. That's not my game, though. I have to say...
Tyson cheated to get two. It's okay.
See, Tom, you just gotta know how to work it. You don't announce I'm gonna take two. All
right, guys, I got 15 games.
Yeah.
I just want to get into shit.
This is gonna... All right. Toe Jam and Earl.
Oh yeah,
Sega.
You guys remember that?
I bought that game so many times, virtual console and shit.
Yeah, Toe Jam and Earl. I loved Toe Jam and Earl growing up. And I mean,
Fucking beat that game?
No.
I never did.
No, because like half the time, like I didn't even know what the fuck you were supposed to do. Like,
find those spaceship pieces and don't die.
But there was like always like weird puzzles and shit. But that game was weird as fuck.
Dude, I've got that on my virtual console. Next time
I noticed
over,
that on your Wii.
Yeah, when we do Smash Brothers night, we should play some Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah, because I mean, I remember that. I mean, obviously, you know, you got your classic games in like Sonic the Hedgehog and stuff like that. I was always a little bit more of a Sonic guy than a Mario guy, all that stuff. But I just remember like Toe Jam and Earl, man. That was Jordan and I would play that, and you know, it was great too because it was co-op, right? Mm-hmm. You could be Toe Jam, your friend could be Earl, vice versa, whatever. Yep. And it was just this weird, funky game, side-scroller type game. Awesome.
Man, we used to play that in Double Dragon Fighters on the Genesis all fucking day long.
Well, there's your two.
Nope.
Let's get your two. Or wait. No, fuck you. Do you have a second?
No, I'm good.
Okay, you get your two.
On Turtles. So funny. So for me, there was two major turning points in my gaming childhood, really. The first one being Final Fantasy VI, the American 3. And the reason for that would be, you know, up until then, my parents bought me Super Nintendo. You know, I had Mario Worlds, Super Street Fighter.
I bet you had the fucking glove, too, didn't you?
I did not have the power glove.
You had the power glove. Someone had the fucking power glove. Do you have a power glove?
Which, you know how much a power glove is on eBay? Because we had a shopping day. Like, there was a day on Twitter where, like, six of us were trying to find a power glove. They're like $600 at this point.
That's so stupid.
Holy shit. Yeah, I was like, I'm going to buy a power glove. I'm not going to buy a power glove.
I just want to jack off on one.
Jesus.
Or jack off with one.
On with... Will the buttons hurt?
It'd probably be the same.
Get the button stuck in your foreskin, man. That would hurt like shit.
Or I'd imagine that plastic doesn't feel real fucking good where it's like put together on the scene.
Well, if you got that strawberry stuff.
Okay, look, I'm going to be honest. I don't know what the power glove is.
Oh, dude, it was like a glove.
I feel like hitting you right now.
What the fuck was the power glove?
It had buttons like right here.
Yeah.
That, in that movie, the fucking wizard, the kid comes out and's like, look at this. Like, I beat the shit out of Mario
okay.
with it.
Yeah. Okay.
Everybody,
I know what
it didn't work like that.
That was gay. Like,
but, so you know, I had.
That's probably not politically. Yeah.
So, you know, I had, like, you know, like all these, correct, these staples, Animaniacs, Tiny Toons, Mario World, Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Animaniacs. Did you guys play Tiny Toons?
I did. Play the shit out of those games.
Yeah.
But Final Fantasy 3 and Legend of Zelda, those, but really Final Fantasy 3 was the one that I played through four times. I max leveled all of my characters, and I was like, what, 12,
and
11
still
years
never
old?
Beat it.
No, I bought it. I
beat it a lot back then.
Yeah, I beat it a ton. And I played Final Fantasy.
That was your fantasy.
I finished Final Fantasy III on every release it's had. Like, that's the one game. I beat it on my Android tablet. I beat it. It's 12 o'clock. I beat it. I don't want to say beat it anymore. Fuck you guys. So anyway, I beat that game a lot. And I beat it a lot, too, yesterday. And
That's a one game? Or yeah. No, you said Street Fighter, and that was...
So the other one is actually Castlevania 64. Which everybody hates, right. But for me, that was, at the time, the hardest game I had ever finished.
Because it wasn't very good?
Yeah, because it was terrible. And you have to fight...
I've never played it.
No, you have to fight Dracula like 6 fucking times. And that was actually my first Castlevania game.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, it came out. I was 13. I never had an NES. I went straight to the Super NES, and my parents wouldn't let me buy violent
games. So you had one of those. This fucking battery. What the fuck are they called? You put the fucking double A's in.
No,
no, no, no.
What are you
no.
talking about?
Well, you remember that you, like the little tigers? Like you put the fucking batteries, it was just like all a screen.
All those
little
tiger electronics.
Oh, the black and white.
Poor bastard.
Where did that fucking go?
I pictured Tom like my favorite game.
I'm just curious what it says about your taste in video games was if supposedly the most panned version of Castlevania ever was like your first introduction into the series, and you're like, I fucking love this series. I need more of this.
Like, I'm 13 years old, right? And there's blood and gore and giant fucking skeletons and vampires and Medusa heads.
Stop! Jimmy can't breathe.
I just wish you were like, yeah, my favorite game was Tetris 2
and Virtua
Dr. Mario.
And Virtua Fighter on the...
Very difficult, and it introduced you into Castlevania.
Yeah, so it really pushed me into that world, and kind of that was my first introductory into that series.
Centipede.
I just want to point out, I gave you one game, and you did two, and the second one...
Well, it took me 3 hours to get it out. So Lucas, what were yours? Go ahead.
You and your innuendo.
We'll have to confirm that with Anna.
Well, fuck. Since we're doing two games, I'd say the first for me would be probably Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Because I got stuck on that game in the casino level because there's a really cheap thing that they changed the mechanics of the entire game. And you had to do some bullshit to get past one of the... these blocks you would stand on and you push up and down and get them moving pretty quick, and then you could jump out of the way.
Yep.
But nowhere else in the game do they do that. So for the longest time, I would get there, get stuck, die, get there, get stuck, and die. So anyhow, that was a game that I played through a shit ton with Mike, my brother, trying to figure it out. And then we finally beat that one day. And I didn't even know it was coming up, but that same day that we beat it, my mom was like, oh, look, they just had Sonic and Knuckles, this new game. I was like, holy
fucking shit. And that's the one where like
shit.
You connected Sonic 3 into it, right?
Yeah, and it continued the story. And Sonic 3 was the first game I'd ever really beaten all the way through. And then I played through Sonic and Knuckles. So that would be my first, as far as nostalgia's sake. And then the second, for similar reasons to yours, although it's argued to be the best game of all time,
Castlevania 64.
Yeah. Ocarina of Time, I think, was a big...
That was a good game.
That was a big turning point for me in gaming. I think for a lot of people, too, because it was the first full-fledged. It had a story. Yeah. It had an orchestra.
Expansive world.
Yeah. Well, and all the acts to the story. Yeah.
Well, and finishing for me, like finishing Castlevania 64, I was thirsting for something new. Jesus Christ. Like, I was
sorry.
And so I actually went out and got Ocarina of Time. That's why I played that game.
Oh, really?
I saw, like, the way the game looked. I'm like, that looks kind of similar-ish. And obviously it wasn't even fucking close. But, you know, that...
Time out. Say that again.
No, I'm not saying it again.
You use a lot of verbs and adjectives that can be, like, sexually...
You know what game I fucking thirsting. Hated? Was, thirsting.
Zelda, that...
Yeah.
Ocarina of Time. And who doesn't have that on their top 10 list?
Yeah.
And who hasn't played
it? I don't have it on my top 10.
My little sister was on Facebook today talking about playing through it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You're fucking playing Ocarina of Time?
For me, it still holds up.
Yeah,
but,
it does, but I mean, she never played a video game in her life, she's 20 years old playing that all of a sudden.
Yeah, like I feel like that's one through the generations.
Yep.
Eventually my kids and maybe even their kids will play that one.
Absolutely.
I fucking hated Majora's Mask.
I hated it. Until I started forcing myself to play it because I paid like fucking $80 for it.
Right.
It was expensive. People bitch about games now.
Didn't you have to do the expansion pack for
that
one too?
You had to buy it with that little stupid RAM thing.
The RAM expansion.
I paid $80. I played it and I was frustrated and I forced myself. And once I got the knack of it.
See, and I never got to play
Donkey Kong. It's one of my favorites. It's like Temple of Doom for Legend of Zelda.
I just had too many like bad experiences with Zelda. Just, and then it has nothing to do with the game. Like... It's Majora's Mask. I fucking hated. Right? I was just like, "Fuck this fucking game." And
you said you hated it.
Age 12, he broke a controller. Said, "Fuck this fucking game."
Yeah. And then after that was the cell shading.
Hey, Wind Waker? Hey.
Wind Waker.
You watch your time.
No. Hold on. No. I didn't hate the game, but I've got like this Vietnam flashback about this game because I think I've told this story before. I was in college at the time, and we had like this big final project. And of course, doing like I do, I procrastinated to the last minute. It was up to like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, finishing putting together this whole art project thing for my final.
Right.
And I'm like, well, we have to be there at 7:30 a.m. or 7 a.m. or something like that. If I go to sleep now, I'm worried I'll sleep through my alarm. So I stayed up playing that game. And I just remember like playing that game. My eyes were just burning. Like I wanted nothing more to sleep and just playing that fucking game. I never finished it. I think I gave it back to Luke. I was just like, here's your fucking game back. But
I remember that. I don't know. Fuck you, man. Those games are awesome.
Yeah, they were. And I have a Vietnam flashback from Wind Waker, but it's different. It's my sister wiping my memory card at the end of the game.
Ugh.
And I never went back to it, but.
Ugh.
So, yeah, those are games and shit.
All right. I think it's time to wrap this show up. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening, as always.
Next time we have a podcast, Tom, I'm going to write down every word that can be taken sexually that you say. Like,
maybe I text you all the time saying that sounds sexual, do I not?
He does, and I thought you were just saying what you were saying sounds sexual. Now it makes a lot more sense, because I'm like, nothing about what you just said me sounds sexual, Jimmy. I don't understand.
Sounds sexual.
Oh, man. All right. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Give us a rating. Give us a review.
Find us on the Twitter webs.
Yeah, on the Facebooks. All that stuff. Check out these plugs. We'll catch you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to this month's Big Shiny Podcast. Be sure to check out other podcasts in the Big Shiny Robot Podcast family, including the Big Shiny Girlcast, Laser Brain, and the Big Movie Mouth Off. And for all you Utah local residents, be sure to check out the Big Shiny Geek Show Pub Quiz every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. at Lucky 13.